is the face
yes.
of excitement.
Yes.
I knew Bro John would understand. He has the same expression most of the time as I do. That's okay.
Laughing on the inside.
All right, good morning, everybody. Another go over the lyrics of that song. Immediately, I just keep extending that title. Well, I am excited to tell you. And when I read this, what I see is Mission Impossible possible. Because that's what it's all about. The challenge that's set before us on the surface is absolutely impossible. In the context of what I mean by set before us, because we're it. This begins, as Paul said, he said, with me first. We have to internalize all this. We come here and get our opportunities to encourage each other and in our fellowship to claim all of what God says. But it has to be seen in us first, because there is a whole lot. This is called good news. You'd see, you would think that would reflect in the lives of the people, that people would notice that. That, you know, Jesus said, we're the light of the world. If you light a candle, you don't put it, you don't put a bushel over it. You don't cover it up. You set it up on the mantle, and it gives light to everybody who comes in the room. It's obvious. It's obvious. Little one-liner out of The Chosen, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and it was dark. Didn't light too many lamps. They said it would draw attention to their little secret meeting. And Nicodemus said, man, or Jesus said, man is drawn to light. No real explanation, but if you're in a dark place and there's a light, you will look right at it instantly. It's just the way we are. Well, wonder if we're the light in the room. Wonder if we're that light on. See, people should look right at us. Like, what's the deal with that? Should be manifest. We got something to say. Now, in the very beginnings, I'm just turning real quick here to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, imagine being out in them shepherd's fields. A little bit of a Christmas story here. Shepherds out in the field. It's night. Keeping watch over their flocks by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord, verse 9, stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid, like, man, the sky lit up. I know I've shared before here at the local assembly. You know, I had the chance to go to the Holy Land with Dr. Patton. A little bit different kind of a Holy Land trip than probably some people go on. We got to do some pretty cool things. One of the things that we ended up doing is they took us into the shepherd's field, to Bethlehem. And I really thought, this is cool. Now, Bethlehem is a city now, different than I'm sure it was 2,000 years ago. But if you turned your back to the city while you were in the shepherd's field, and you looked toward the horizon, I didn't see no golden arches. There was no modern buildings, as far as you could see. It was a big sky and some mountains, and, you know, these are fields, and they had natural caves. It was rocky in a lot of spots. And I remember standing there thinking of this verse, when the heavens just opened up and lit up with a bunch of angels. Imagine what them shepherds would have thought of that. No wonder they was afraid. And I thought, man, that was right here. Because obviously the earth is pretty much the same. I'm sure them the same hills, same skies. And to not have to see no modern things, you could almost imagine yourself transported and think, this is where that happened, right in that sky. Yeah, we are to make this real and relevant. This isn't just words on paper. This is true. God's word is true. And it happened, and that's where it happened. The angel said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings, for behold, of great joy, for which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Verse 13 says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Well, that sounds like good news. I guess you'd be excited. He said, let's go in town and tell everybody. Tell everybody. They said, you'll find a babe in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. Go see. So off they went. They went and told everybody. And they found him. Just like the angel said. They wanted them to go tell. Now, I think if you look between the lines here a little bit, for good reason, they needed to tell everybody, because guess what's going to happen? If you turn over to Matthew's account of this same story, you know, sometime later, possibly a couple years, the wise men who saw it when they were in the east, they showed up. They went and they got brought before Herod. They told him they were looking for a king that was born because of the star that was shown. And Herod's like, where is that at? Well, he called his guys, astrologers and the priests and everybody, and they said the child, according to the prophet, would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. So he sent them down there, and they're supposed to report back. They don't. They head out. God warns the wise men, don't go back and tell Herod. He'll try to kill the child. So he sends soldiers down there to Bethlehem. And in the whole surrounding districts, and slaughtered all the two-year-old boys and younger, according to the time acquired of the wise men. And then it says that there was fulfilled what was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah, Matthew 2 and 17. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more gone. Prophesied 500 years before it would happen, Jeremiah 31 and 15. Man, the sky lit up, all this great news, glad tidings and good things. And now a wailing. Bethlehem is 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Ramah is 5 miles north. Think about it. That crying could be heard. That'd be almost like from here to Shalott. A screaming, a crying. Where's God? Same place he always is. He allowed it. You know, the whole message we got is bittersweet, but I'll tell you what, the light is greater than the darkness, and the joy is far greater than the sadness down here on this earth. This is bad enough down here, and I don't know how people get through this thing without hope. But we're the ones now. We need to take this message. This is falling on us. Just like when Jesus called his 12. And they walked with him. He didn't go get a bunch of fancy guys, educated Jews from the Jerusalem Bible College, any theologians from up there. He went right out to the common people. He himself wasn't anybody that was school trained in that sense. He wasn't a Levite. He was from Judah. He was a carpenter. And he went around gathering common folk. He got tax collectors, zealots, and you know, they had some gals, harlots, walking around with them. What a crew. Yeah. I think I'm looking at them. I don't see any theologians here either. From the Jerusalem Bible College. In Matthew chapter 4, another prophecy was fulfilled. Matthew chapter 4, John gets thrown in prison, John the Baptist. Jesus heads out with the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it says that the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. Verse 14 says, that the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, we're Gentiles, the people who have sat in darkness have seen great light. Upon whom those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. The light has arrived. Jesus said, I've come as a light into the world. People have been in darkness no more. The apostle Paul, well, it's Saul of Tarsus, blind on the road to Damascus. The Lord confronted him. So Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. I got a mission for you, though. Stand on your feet. I'm going to send you to the nations. This is what I want you to do. I want you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins, receive an inheritance for those who are sanctified by faith in me. He said, O king, he gave him a testimony to King Agrippa. I wasn't disobedient to that vision. Headed out. The light has dawned in that dark place. This whole world lie under the sway of the evil one. 1 John 5:19 tells us. People are still sitting in darkness. Right now, as well brought out yesterday in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17, people, they're ignorant, they're blind, given over to all the works of the flesh. We were all there. That was us. But we were called out of the darkness, Peter said, into the marvelous light. Well, with that comes responsibility. It is a blessing, truly, but we got to be able to unpackage this now to other people that are in that darkness. When that light dawned, see, that was when this thing had come to the fullness of time. We are the ones, according to Scripture says, we are the ones upon whom the fulfillment, the end of the ages has come. It's us. It's the Christian. And for 2,000 years, this has been in effect. The kingdom had come. We've been transferred from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the Son of His love. Transferred. If you're born again. That's where you're at. Now, I know sometimes, as has already been mentioned, that's not people's reality. They don't feel it. But that's why we study the Scripture, because the Word of God is the truth, and it cannot be broken whether or not what your experience is. It's what does it say. And the faith of Abraham compels us that we believe it when there's no evidence for it in the physical sense. Just like Hebrews 11, called the so-called faith chapter. All them people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews were all Old Testament people. There's not even any Christians listed in that chapter. They're all patriarchs or guys under the law of Moses and gals at that time. And by faith, they accomplished all that. But the definition we know is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We move out even though we're not looking at physical signs or things to make sure that we're going to be okay if we head out here. We trust in God, and if it's right to do, we do it. We've got our marching orders. We don't have to wait around. You guys been involved in medical, like EMT or whatever, paramedic, if you can't get a hold of medical control and you've got a situation, you have standing orders that you can operate under when you can't get a hold of anybody else. Like I said, medical control. You have standing order. We have our standing orders. We've been commissioned. Go ye into all the world and get this message out there. I like this passage, you know, so they don't, those who were sitting in darkness suddenly seen a great light. Now in Matthew 9 and 35, Jesus was now taking that message to the world when John got locked up, and he's taking these guys that he's picked, regular guys, they're following him, and they're learning. Man, this is all hands-on. I appreciate the Lord doing that. He literally came down here, became like us, set aside his privileges, came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh. You know, regular guy on the outside appeared to be, you know, son of Joseph, carpenter. But man, I mean, he could do some signs and wonders, but that teaching of his, man, that's what people thought. Never a man spake like this man. Never a man spoke like this man. Now, he was able to perform these kind of signs and wonders, and you see it in Matthew 9. He went about, in verse 35, into all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, good news of the kingdom, good news, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, he did miraculously. We got to do the old-fashioned way. People still need that kind of help. But, you know, those of you who know or have been there too with us, the Myanmar, we've been helping them with medicine for 18 years for the clinic. You know, we've got wheelchairs over there to Vietnam and Kosovo. Thanks to Alan Marshall's daughter, got us the support. We bought 45 wheelchairs over in Vietnam, passed them out, watching those people that could walk, trying to get the wheelchair home to the person who couldn't walk. I never seen nothing like it, trying to get a wheelchair on a motorbike. They did it. That was the funniest thing. You know, they're smiling. They're heading out, got this wheelchair all folded up, some guy in the back holding on to the wheelchair, flying down the road. Hey, whatever it takes. We got to do it the old-fashioned way. They can't walk, we get them a chair. But what we take is the message. You know, that's what Jesus did. It's an example. Can't just preach it to everybody all the time. You got to do something for them. How can you say, be warmed and filled, brother? We'll pray for you, like James said. But you don't give them what's necessary for their body. He said, what good is that? Faith without works is dead, right? So we've incorporated those things together, and it works great. Giving people food baskets, some of the things you see, that is not going to change their situation. You know, I had a couple that where I worked with. She was a pretty girl, and he's kind of crazy, but they were, you know, married. I knew them well. Whoa, boy, one day they got a hold of me because, man, they were shook up. She just got a diagnosis with MS. And, oh, man, they want to talk to me. I mean, I knew them, got along with them. They knew I, you know, preach and I, you know, had church out here. They want to talk to me. I knew what they probably want to talk about. Can you come over? I said, sure. And, man, they want to know about God, what God can do with this situation. Look, I knew exactly what they wanted. Is there a chance that, you know, a little laying on of hands or something, some sort of healing to be done? You know, it's in the Bible. Because when you study and rightly divide the word of truth, you find out what he did with those signs was to convict the people that he was from God. You better listen. So Nicodemus came to him at night and acknowledged that fact. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God because nobody can do the signs that you do except God be with them. If he would have just showed up as Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son from some hick town with not even one traffic light, you know, howdy guys, I'm the Messiah. You want to hear what I got to say? Are you crazy? He would have had no credibility. Who the heck would he have been? But when he was able to do what he did and unpackage the mysteries that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world, they were all ears. They were all ears. So sign, those are sign gifts. But the healing comes. He's healing our inner man. If they pay attention to him, that was the whole point. Eyes could open now, and you could see, and you could live forever. Your deaf ears could open, and you could hear and live forever. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you've been raised up to walk in the newness of life, and you'll live forever. Which is greater, a temporal healing down here? Well, I didn't have for all the time to explain that to them, but I was trying to get right there where I needed to be with them about, you know, the reality of the kind of healing. But this is what's available. Of course, that's now down the longer road, the process of living out that kind of life. But what I'm saying is they were really looking at me intently at first. Then pretty soon I noticed, like the holiday balloons, you see, they were deflating. And I thought, I'm losing them. Look, I get it. We know what people want. If you've been diagnosed with something like that, or your child or something, man, you're in a panic. Like I said, she's a pretty girl, and she could just even imagine herself going with what that MS would do to her as she got older. And, well, they deflated. They thanked me for coming over. Turned out later that the false diagnosis, she didn't have it after all. So they just kept doing what they do in the world, eventually got divorced. I don't know what they're doing now. When we went into refugee camps in Poland, these Ukrainian, you know, refugee camps, you know, Oleg was with me. Walk into a room with 100 people in it, knowing full well what they want to hear. Or what they want. I just should say what they want. I'll tell you what they want. They want that war to end. They want to go home. They're fearful. They're worried. They're distraught. Some showed us pictures. They know they don't have no home to go to. They had pictures. Their houses were blown up. A couple, they were older, 70s maybe, retired school teachers, and they looked at me with tears in their eyes. We don't know if we'll ever go home. They built that home with their hands. Not a lot of money, and now it's gone. They can't even see themselves having to start all over and rebuild that. Some of them didn't know where their loved ones even at, where they're alive, where their husbands was alive, their sons. That's reality. Walk right in there and know darn well what they want. I know what they need, and so do you. You know, there's a car going by here. I don't know who's in it, but guess what? God knows them, and guess they need God. Do they know God? I don't know. He does. I mean, he knows whether they know or not. Because every single person you lay your eyeballs on, created, it needs God. This message is for all of mankind, for all time. But do all people really want to know? Why is good news can fall flat? How is that even possible? Good news just fall flat. And people get all depressed. Because, yeah, they want good news all right, but they want it the way they want it. You know, they got a world view all right, the way the world ought to be, and they want that to become that reality. They don't want to see the truth of the matter. They don't want to see it the way it is. They want to see it the way they want it to be. If you're a truth seeker, you will seek for it the way it is, not the way you want it, because you might as well forget that. God has got a better idea. Let him be God. Just look, seek his face, fall in, salute, execute. You will never regret it. Never regret it. I know what they wanted. I know what Lewis and Catherine wanted. But I couldn't give it to them. And they got all deflated. Well, we went in there with 100 people. We told them what we told them we know what you want. And I went right down that you want this, and this. And obviously they did. We told them we brought you some food baskets. But we also told them, like some of you know, we go on these trips, Brother Allen knows, we take food baskets. But we have to tell the people, look, we know this does not change your situation. This is a token. This is a gift, just so we could come here and talk to you. So we brought that for you. But here's the deal. We know what you want. But here's what you have access to. Here is what is for you. I got a message. I said, we're going to share a few verses with you. Me and Oleg have been a pretty good team for a long time. The reason I say Oleg, these people are Russian-speaking, obviously. So we were in Poland, but they weren't Polish. They were Ukrainian. And we started unpacking the scriptures. We showed them from the Bible, this is what this world looks like according to God. He is the one telling you it's broken. He is the one telling you it's all screwed up. God is the one telling you that it's full of darkness and danger and evil and wars and rumors of wars and pandemics and earthquakes and tidal waves recently, biggest one recorded, I guess, coming out of Russia when that water came ashore. You ever see some videos of that? And then wildfires, and then it was whatever, some other big disaster. All those poor kids in Texas, you know, all swept away. Little girls. And some guy on there, I don't know who he was, but boy, he was bitter. Where was God? I think he was somehow connected, or maybe his daughter was one of them. I'm not sure, that got swept away. This is a Christian camp. I'm thinking, yeah. And heard a Jewish guy, I heard about a Jewish guy one time that survived. He lived through the Auschwitz or something, through the concentration extermination camp. Said he lost his faith there. Somebody asked him, why is that? He said, because if God exists, he's a monster. I thought, you ought to read Deuteronomy 28, man. I'm not mocking, I'm just saying. We need to catch up to the reality of this world. The scripture gives us all of it, but including the light, which is greater. We have a message of good news. I am excited to tell the people. Me and Holly, we was up there. We were positive. But, you know, once you explain to people, they were listening, too. They weren't like eyeballs rolling back thinking, oh, geez, we got these two screwballs. We got enough problems. They ain't coming here. Well, we showed them the scripture that God described their situation to the T. They never read the Bible. And probably where they came from with orthodoxy, them black robe guys wearing lampshades, swinging incense burners, never told them anything about the reality of this life and what the good news is all about. We did. We told them. We let them know, here's the deal. God knows your pain. He looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men, all of mankind. But he fashions the hearts individually. And he understands your ways. He sees, he knows, he cares. He's the creator. Doesn't want anybody to be lost. He don't change the world, though. And he's not going to. This is the way the world is. But he will change you if you're interested. He can change you. Now, if some of you guys get my newsletter, you know, we covered some things that we've been up to lately with DCHA. But there's a picture in there when you get to the Ukraine article that Anya sent me. She said there's a bunch of these, but I couldn't get past them. So she gave me one. It's bad. It's a side-by-side. The picture is a Ukrainian couple, nice looking couple, smiling from ear to ear, nicely dressed, great picture of a man and his wife. And the side-by-side right next to it is the most broken-looking individual, hollow eyes, shrunken-looking face, and this woman wrapped her arms around him, hanging with, you can tell she is sobbing. What's the context of the picture? Anya said, prisoner exchange. This is them before the war, and the other one is, he was released in a prisoner exchange, and that's what they did to him. It is a powerful picture. But what we need to think about, that is reality. So, question, is this good news for them? You know, sometimes when we bring out, because it's so true, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and many of us have reaped the consequences of that behavior. We have regrets and all that, but the good news is, including in the lyric here, God, who in the chorus, he makes a way where there ain't no way. There's no sinner he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. You know, the lyric's pretty good. God can do this kind of radical change. And not just the middle class people that really don't have any problems that go to church. We ain't talking about that. I like talking about the extremes, because if he can fix the extreme, I mean, just think about it, like the big things, doesn't it stand to reason he can fix the littler things? Yes, of course, he can do that. Because if we're only talking about little things all the time, yeah, but what about that guy? What about these people? What about them? Now, some people, like I said, suffer the consequence of what they did, and they get it, and they know that. But what about if you were totally innocent, and it happened to you, that you were taken, and people did that to you, when you didn't do nothing, and God allowed it? He just flat out allowed it into us sitting up there? That's some people's question. Jeff brought up that text he got. Boy, the person in that text sounded bitter. Where's your God, man? Where's your God? Did a great job unpackaging a message for people like that. All that information's in the Bible, of which they don't read. You'll never know this stuff intuitively. Or through, what is it, the philosophy, I think Mark was bringing up, how to get to God by, well, we'll try wisdom through signs or this or that. Or just make one in your own image. Carve one out for yourself. Just make sure you throw the right piece in the fire to cook your food. Keep them straight, you know. People, fools and blind. Fools and blind. So, worst case scenario, when you see that picture side by side. But I had another view of that picture. And I'll probably post it down here if you haven't seen my newsletter or something so you can see it. The imagery's powerful. But I thought about, no, let's move it the other way. The guy that looks like a wreck with his wife clinging all over him, let's just picture that's what God sees even when people are walking down the street with a smile on their face. Because God told Samuel, I look on the inward. You're looking on the outward. There are people like Robin Williams, you know, funniest guy in the world, you know, he's laughing, got a joke all the time before he hanged himself. And people were shocked, like, what's the deal with that? Funny guy like that, man. Why be doing that? Because this is who he was. He was hurting inside. Maybe he looked like that guy in the picture I'm describing, a wreck, hollow, empty. Whatever happened to him, he couldn't deal with it. He took care of it his way. And that's not exactly the plan of salvation, folks. And there's a lot of people that do that, unfortunately. Some people, when they got their mind made up, that's what they're going to do. They don't even write notes. They just go do it. And that's sad. It's totally unnecessary nowadays. Extra, extra, Read all about it. Death has been abolished. Eternal life is now available. Light has come into this world. I don't know if you ever see some of them old. That's why they used to, you know, tell when they had hot news off the presses. Extra, extra. Read all about it. And the quote I'm giving you is out of 2 Timothy 1:9. Speaking of God who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world even began, before time began. How intentional is that? But now, this message, calling, this holy calling has now been revealed by the appearing of Jesus our Savior, Jesus Christ our Savior, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news. Read all about it. Looking at the world, you wouldn't think that. Really? This place? Yes. Yes. Death has been abolished. You just got done talking about all these people getting killed. Which death are we talking about? That's why, unfortunately, don't get me wrong, I am not even knocking about what happened with the floods or the tsunamis or whatever the heck, or even the wars. Jesus said it doesn't matter how you die. Luke 13, Pilate killed some of the Galileans, offering their sacrifices at the time of the sacrifices, slaughtered them. And then Jesus said, yeah, well, you think there were sinners above all that dwell in Galilee because this happened to them? Tell you no. Except you repent, turns around on them, the living, you'll perish. What about he said that tower in Siloam that fell, killed them 18 dudes. You think they were worse sinners than everybody else because that happened? Jesus said, I'll tell you no. It don't have nothing to do with it. They weren't worse sinners. Stuff happens. It's not how you die. You are going to die. We're all going to die. You're going to get old and die, sick and die, die accident. But you're going to die. It's appointed unto man wants to die, then judgment. Hebrews 9:27. But what state are you going to be? Who has control over what state you're in when you die? We do. Choose. So, that guy in the picture, what about him? Does he have access to life and joy, all this good news? Can he start all over, whatever happened to him? You know, I like how it says here, I think here, what God can do. He can change us. The good news is that I know God can do for you what he's done for me. He'll do for all of us. God is no respecter of persons. He can fix from the inside out. Now, I know here the lyric says, who can wipe away the tears from the broken dreams and wasted years and tell the past to disappear? You know, God doesn't give us amnesia in the immersion. We don't forget what happened. If that guy ain't never going to forget, and you know what he went through. I don't know what he went through. It must be bad, according to the picture. God fills us with so much light, so much truth, so much goodness, so much mercy. The picture becomes so big that even no matter what happened, is nothing, the scripture says, to compare to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's how God can do it. That's why he doesn't have to stop it in advance. You think he didn't care about all them little babies getting killed? I told you them angels told them shepherds, go tell everybody. Yeah, because it was good news, right? Well, yeah, it was good news, but there was another reason it was coming. The grieving, that cry, and Rhema, that could be heard for 10 miles. Rachel weeping for her children who could not be comforted because they were no more. Guess who them people were? The shepherds' families. It was their children. They had to tell all the others, come, look, come see, because in the realization, our children died, so his could live, because the angel said he's the Savior, so he could save all the rest of us. It's bittersweet. Yes, you would cry. You would cry, but you would agree. That's the way it had to be. That's why God didn't stop it. Jesus, somebody brought up yesterday something in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had free will. Father, if it be any other way, he even prayed the prayer three times. If it be any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Well, guess what? Apparently there was no other way. And he went to the cross. He did it. He pulled this off for our sake. And now we do the same thing. We participate in his death, burial, and resurrection. We can start all over. I have, you have, and if you haven't, you can. And even that poor guy and his wife, I mean, she looked as devastated as he. I mean, it's a terrible picture. But spiritually, there's people walking around right now. That's what they look on the inside. But that couple looking really nice and, you know, in great shape, smiles all over their faces is who they can be literally right now. And that is how far these things go. Man, if that ain't the impossible made possible, I don't know what is. Because I'll tell you what, God is not just tweaking our behavior a little bit, you know, getting us dusted off a little bit, you know, working with some of our bad, man, a new creation of Christ is it's not a little renovation, man. He just destroys the old man is gone, dead. He destroys it, raises up something. I make all things new, Jesus said. Any man in Christ is a new creation. The old things passed away. Everything has become new. Old is gone, new is in. If you have the faith for it. But you know, the scripture is quite clear. Many are called and few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Why is it that so many times the good news just flops? It just flops. Well, people have free will. And the minute they start hearing what they need to do, they misinterpret what you're saying. They think it's a burden to bear. They don't even listen to Jesus. He said, no, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free, fool. I'm trying to set you free. Come to me, you who labor and heavy. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You'll find rest for your soul. Come on, come on. Why isn't that good news? What I got to do? Look. If you got to ask why I got to do in that context, then forget it. Remember, you've heard it, I've heard it. If you have going to some rich place, you're looking at all this, whatever they got, you go, oh man, how much is that? They go, if you got to ask, you can't afford it. Aaron Knotts used to tell me, we're down in New Zealand, you know, where they have them, what do you call, albatrosses? They have a saying down there, the Kiwis do. Because sometimes people see some pretty big birds flying around down there. They go, is that an albatross? The saying down there with the Kiwis is, if you have to ask, is that an albatross? It's not. Because it's so obvious when you see one. You don't have to ask. I'm looking at Luke 19 and 41. In 19 and 41... as he drew near the city of Jerusalem in Luke 19 and 41, he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build embankment around you, surround you close on every side, level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in it one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Man, that is a burden that he had to bear. He loved these people. He came down here to save them, and they're looking at him, and they're not listening to him. And he knows, and I'm always reminded of what the Jews, you know, they give Pilate so much grief over this whole situation. He got sick of the whole thing, and he washed his hands of the whole matter. His own wife told him, "Have nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things in a dream because of him." Then the Jews come up complaining again, because Pilate put a sign on his cross: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." So the Jews come up there: "Don't put that sign on there. He said he was the King of the Jews." I think Pilate, I can tell it in his voice, he had about enough of them. "What I've written, I've written." Like, get out of here. People want to change it. Well, we don't like it like that. How about you, let's just change that a little bit. No, get out of here. You want the truth? A truth that'll set you free? You want a clean slate? You want to start all over again, and this time do it right? By the one who knows how to do it right, the one who came down here in human form and led the way. Jesus in human form, tempted in all points, yet without sin, who will strengthen us in our inner man. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll provide the guidance, the strength, and the opportunities. What a deal. You've had your chance. I had mine. I got no regrets of walking away from my past life. I had 30 years in the world. I had my chance. I'm ready to listen now. I've never regretted it. Why people just don't, well, they only go so far. They're still trying to have a little bit of the one foot in the world and one in the church. Maybe one more in 11:45 of John, Big John. I'm keeping an eye on the clock, too.
No, you're
what? I'm not over yet.
Yes.
Don't I have to 11?
No.
45.
What? The bulletin?
No.
Help.
Didn't read it.
I've been looking at my watch the whole time, yeah, trying to be right this time.
I figured it stopped.
Look, I'll give you the verse. I'll just give it to you. 11. Big John 11. And here I was thinking, okay, this time nobody be looking at me like if he goes, all goes over. Okay, 11:45. Same thing. Verse 11:45. Not the time on the clock. The verse. 11, John. He's going to call Lazarus out of the tomb. He can't seem to get anybody to listen to what he's saying. Your brother will rise again and come up. "I know, Lord, in the resurrection of the last day, sometime in the future." No, he said, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, even though he died, he shall live. Do you believe this?" And then Mary, same thing. "Lord, if you've been here, my brother," he's, "oh, brother, where have you laid him? Take him over there." They said, "He's come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. And others standing there said, "Oh, look how he loved him." Some said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind even have kept this man from dying?" And Jesus groaned. They're not listening to him. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Man, he come out of that tomb and said, "Whoa, you getting it yet?" He's weeping because he realizes these guys are not paying attention to what's being said here, and they're not going to like it. The time will run out. That's why we need to be excited to tell the people the good news. Something that would have been thought absolutely impossible is absolutely possible. Jesus even said, with God, all things are possible. So we need to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Light has come into this world, so we don't have to be in the darkness no more. Thanks for your attention. Thank you.